For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Good, and he meets us. He meets us as we draw nigh to him. The Bible says he draws nigh to us. And so we must be people that always look to him as our source, and are trusting in him with all our heart and leaning not to our own understanding. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the healer, that you have provided for us a way to be healed and to live in health, and for sickness to be taken from the midst of us. We thank you, Lord, for that wonderful blessing. And Father, I pray that tonight, even tonight, we see about tapping into the fountain of life, your fountain of life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking tonight at tapping into God's fountain of life. And yes, those words, fountain of life, are found in the scripture. We're going to be looking at that in a minute. We do know that in salvation, healing and health is provided. And anyone that knows about the full redemption that we have knows that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were healed. But you know, you've got to receive these things by faith. It's not just going to come on you. And in fact, there's many people that are disobedient to the Lord, and all types of things get in the way. So we have to be people that access his redemption that he's provided freely. But our responsibility is to access that, to take hold of it by faith. So we're redeemed through the payment of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should always remember that. In fact, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's have a look at that, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we need to see that a wonderful price has been paid. That wonderful price has been paid. And this is a foundational thing to understand. You know, when I was first a Christian, the Lord revealed to me very quickly about the full gospel, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our healing. Yes, he paid for us to be able to go to heaven. He took our sins on the tree, the Bible says, and he was made a curse for us. And he's paid for us not to be in poverty or to be in sickness and disease or infirmity. And we see here, and we'll look at verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So that's a very foundational thought, isn't it? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you are not your own. That means that the way you approach looking after your body, and look, in fact, looking after your inner man as well, as we'll see in the next verse, is very, very important. And it must be done by faith. And it says that in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. That price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember that. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. G-O-D apostrophe S tells us that God owns you. If you're a Christian, God owns you, and he will require you to give an account of what you've done with your body and with your spirit. And we've found out that that'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. So notice that there is a commandment here. The commandment is glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Can you see that that's a commandment that God has given? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, I say this as a foundation because we want to see now how to tap into the fountain of life. It's not an automatic tapping into. It's by faith, and it's by approaching the Word of God in the right way, in a believing way, and saying, well, yes, I know that I am commanded to glorify God In fact, the Bible says to present your body as a living sacrifice. This is a command. Let's have a look at Proverbs 13, verse 14. Proverbs 13, verse 14. You know, one of the important things to understand is that God wants us to live in freedom right through our life. He doesn't want you to wait till you're sick or infirm or have a disease and then he'll heal you, and he will do that. He wants you to live free from sickness, free from infirmity, free from disease, free from all types of things that might bind or keep you in bondage. He wants you to live free. And the way to do that is to tap into God's fountain of life. So we're looking at Proverbs 13, verse 14. Now notice what it says here. It's very important to take hold of this. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. Fountain means source. It's where it's coming from. It's where that life is coming from. Notice it says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Well, who do you think is going about putting people into the snares of death? The devil, isn't it? The Bible says he's the destroyer of good. He's the one that tries to destroy the people of God. And the Bible tells us that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he's going around oppressing people. He's going around keeping people in bondage. But do you know that you can be a person that acknowledges, well, my body has been bought with a price. I have been commanded to glorify God in my body and in my spirit. And you can start to tap into the fountain of life, because you see that the law of the wise, which is the word of God, let's be clear on that, the word of God, the law of the wise, is a fountain of life. It is a fountain of life. It's the source from where you're going to get that life coming into your heart and into your body on a continual basis. So you see that the law, let me just say that again, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. You should say, thank you, Lord, that I am tapping into the fountain of life by obeying the law of the wise, by obeying your word, by taking hold of your word, by putting it into my heart and keeping it in there, keeping it in there. Now we see that in other scriptures as well, and we're going to have a look at some of those other scriptures. Let's have a look at Proverbs 4, and we'll look at verses 20 to 23. Well, we can look at verse down to 24. So verse 20, now think about the words of God as being the law of the wise, okay? Because we're looking at tapping into the fountain of life so that we can have a continual health in our life. Continual health. Can you see what I'm saying? And it says in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now you've got to pay attention to God's words. Isn't that what it's saying? You can't just say, well, yeah, I believe the Bible's the word of God, but you're not obeying it, you're not putting it into practice, you're not putting it into your heart, you're not feeding on it, you're not meditating on it, and yet you say the Bible's the word of God. Well, let's not be contradictory. We see that it's the law of the wise. It's something we've got to, as wise people, take hold of as law for our lives. Notice what it says in verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So God wants you to put the word of God into the midst of your heart. And notice what it says here, and this is showing that as you put the law of the wise into your heart, keeping it into the midst of your heart, you're tapping into the fountain of life, and it will affect your body, it will affect your flesh. Because it says here, for they are life. Didn't we read about the fountain of life? For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So you can see here that it is not a chance random process. It is a deliberate thing that you're doing. You're deliberately paying attention to the Word of God. You're deliberately looking into the law of the wise and acknowledging that it is the fountain, God's fountain of life. You're acknowledging the source of life. And as it says there in verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And notice what it says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Things that you put into your heart are very, very important, because there's going to be the issues of life sorted out in your heart. And it says, as an example, in verse 24, put away from thee a froward, that means a crooked, perverse type of mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So that's one thing that people have to do, is to guard what comes out of their mouth. You can't be saying, well, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, and then the next minute saying, I think I'm going to be afflicted with this now, and this is coming on me, and so on. Now you start to come against anything that the devil would try to afflict you with. Why? Because you're acknowledging the law of the wise. It's the Word of God is law to you. So you put it in your heart and remember what the way of faith is. Remember what the spirit of faith is. I believe and therefore I speak. Okay? So you put it into your heart and you start to speak it. That's what comes out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth will speak out of the abundance of the heart. If you're putting rubbish in there and believing that, and there's many opportunities the devil will give for that, then obviously that's going to have repercussions in your life, because you'll start to speak the wrong things and so on. Now the law, if you think about the law of the wise, and then you link it with glorify God in your body and your spirit, you need to be people that obey the word. And there's lots that the word says about the body, such as put your body in subjection, you know, keep it in subjection. You know, I see that it's very important for us to be people that look after ourselves, because we are stewards of what is God's. So we look after our heart, we look after our spirit by making sure that only the right things are coming into it. And we look after our body by exercising, by eating properly, by not damaging it deliberately and so on. There's things that are very important to line up with that commandment, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Okay, so we see here that the law of the wise, and this is going back to Proverbs 13, verse 14. Let's read this again. Proverbs 13, 14 says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. If you want to be a person who is continually tapping into that life that is affecting your flesh, we read it before, that it's life to all their flesh and health to all their flesh. That's, if you want to be a person that is tapping into that, then you must be a person that understands the law of the wise and is walking in God's ways. So notice, it's to depart, that means keep away from the snares of death. And we mentioned before that the devil is out there trying to snare people into death things. All right, let's have a look also at Proverbs 14, verse 27. Proverbs 14, verse 27. Now, once again, this also talks about departing from the snares of death. And notice what it says here, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, you see, the Bible talks about two types of fear. One is the fear of evil, and he doesn't want us to fear evil. He says, the psalmist says, I will fear no evil. No, we shouldn't be fearing evil, because that has torment and it's destructive and it'll bring the wrong things and attract the wrong things into your spirit and into your body. And you don't want that. But the fear of the Lord is to honour God. And how do you honour God? How do you put him first? Well, you hate what God hates. You hate evil. But you love what God loves. You love his word. You love the brethren. You walk in love. You love him. Okay, so the fear of the Lord is to esteem the Lord as the highest in your life. In fact, Paul the Apostle said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. So he is what matters in our life. Without him we can do nothing. Without him we are nothing. And as we read before, we're commanded to glorify God in our body and our spirit. But how can you glorify God in your spirit if you don't have the fear of the Lord? You can't, can you? And if you're not, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, then you're not going to be able to tap into that fountain of life. Because it says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So let's have a look at the definition, the key definition of the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 verse 13. Now we've read this before many times, but it tells us what the fear of the Lord is. This relates to the state of your heart. And it's a good list to say, do I match up with this? Do I match up with this? Is my life matching up with this? Because if your life is matching up with this, then you can say, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to me. I'm matching up with this, and it's a fountain of life to me. It's like the law of the wise is a fountain of life to me to depart from the snares of death. I don't have to be caught in the devil's snares. I don't have to be caught in death things and death cycles. Okay, so what do we see in Proverbs 8, verse 13? The fear of the Lord is, it's a definitional thing here, fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then there's a colon there, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. What's at the top of the list? Pride. Pride. See, pride says my way, not God's way. But what should we be saying? As humble people, we should be saying God's way, not my way. So it's the opposite to pride, isn't it? So pride will always exalt self. Pride will always try to put self in the main picture. And humility will always exalt the Lord and put him as first. And this is where to hate evil, anything that is against God's word, you don't want it. You don't want it in your life. You're staying away from that type of thing. You know? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy. Arrogancy. Once again, that attitude of looking down on others as though they don't matter, and on others' things as though, well, I only care about my things, not the things of others. That's being arrogant. You don't want to be like that, and you shouldn't want to be like that, because you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. You hate the evil way. There's many people walking along that evil way, and it's not a good way, because it leads to those snares of death. Can you see? The fear of the Lord, the law of the wise, causes you to depart from the snares of death. Goes along another way, doesn't it? But obviously the way of evil, the evil way, is going to cause people to go towards the snares of death. And I pray that you're seeing this tonight, because it's very important. A froward mouth, a mouth that is rebellion and twisted and says all the things that are not right. We must be very wary that we want to say things in line with the Word of God. We want to be scrupulously honest in our lives, not tell lies, because lying goes against the Spirit of God. It goes against God's nature. God is not a liar, and he doesn't expect his people to be liars either. So, you know, in God's eyes, there's no such thing as a white lie. Lies are lies, okay? So just be scrupulously honest with your mouth. Use your mouth to bless people, to help people. Use your mouth to help yourself with the right confession of the Word of God and so on. I believe and therefore I speak. So use your mouth in the right way and say, Lord, I want to be a person that hates evil. I want to tap into that fountain of life. I want to obey the law of the wise. I want to have the fear of the Lord. See, this is the right attitude, the right way we must have. If you have a look at Proverbs 1, verse 7. I know I've looked a lot in Proverbs. It will go into other scriptures in a minute. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Once again, we've seen this many times before, but let's have a look at what it says here. Because remember, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It's a source of life for you. Okay? And it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, a person could sit under some really good preaching and completely reject it. We've had that. We've had that in the past. People have done that. But it hasn't helped them at all. They've despised wisdom and instruction. But think about the opposite. You're not a fool if you don't despise God's wisdom, the law of the wise. You're not a fool if you don't despise God's instruction. All right? So you're part of the wise. You're one of the wise people that is esteeming wisdom, is esteeming proper instruction, is listening with your heart, is attending to the words of God. Can you see what I'm saying? That type of person is going to be tapping into the knowledge of God. They'll start to understand about healing and health and strength. They'll start to understand about, oh, I need to get the word of God into my heart because I know that it's health to all my flesh. And the law of the wise is a fountain of life. I know I'm saying this over and over, but I want to get this deep into your spirit so that when you go out of here tonight, you're going to be saying, the law of the wise is a fountain of life in my life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life in my life. And I'm departing from the snares of death. Put those type of things into your mouth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is speaking tonight through his word, by his spirit. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want proper godly knowledge in your life. You want to know how to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. How do you glorify God in your body and in your spirit? If you want to know how to do that, then you've got to be a person that has the fear of the Lord in you. Praise God. And it's a state of the heart. So the beginning of knowledge tells us a lot of things about what the Lord Jesus Christ has provided. It tells us how to behave. It tells us what to do. It tells us that we need to walk the walk of faith and to love one another, and that faith works by love. It tells us all about that, and it tells us how to speak, how to act, how to speak, what to do, even in the midst of a sinful, evil world, even in the midst of all types of troubles. God speaks to us, and as we look into what he has to say and get that into our hearts, then it's health to all our flesh. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. Let's have a look at Jesus giving some instruction to a man, and a good instruction that we can take hold of even today. Have a look at John 5, John chapter 5. And, you know, Jesus says that the nations have to be taught and to keep all his commandments. Jesus has given many commandments right through the New Testament. There's many commandments. We read one before, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's not a suggestion. That's actually a commandment. Other scriptures say, have faith in God. Jesus spoke that one. That's a commandment. So when you look at the law of the wise, you start to understand that God's word is full of wisdom and instruction that we need to not ignore, but to put into practice in our life. And sadly, there's even many Christians ignoring God's word. And that's sad, because their testimony will not be that God is my healer and my strength and so on. The testimony will be the opposite. They'll start to go towards the snares of death. Now, how sad is that? The provision of the Lord is like nothing to them. But we're not like that. We shouldn't be like that. So, John 5, we'll start from verse 1 and go to verse 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So God, right through history, has got healing into people through a variety of ways. But it's all through faith. It's all through faith. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. We almost feel like you'd have to give up after 38 years, don't you think? But God doesn't give up. God gives hope. And that's what Jesus did. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? So it's an interesting question to ask of a person who has had an infirmity 38 years. It might have been, you know, something was wrong with his back or something like that. What does he say here? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So, wilt thou be made whole? Is saying, are you going to look to me as a source, as your source? Are you going to be whole? And it's not just whole in his body, is it? Whole in his inner man. There's a wholeness that many people need in their inner man. They need to get aligned with the fear of the Lord. That might mean they need to repent to get things right. So here we see in verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. So, if you think about this, wholeness is not just the body, the inner man. If he was made whole, he'd start to be thinking right. And the thinking that was right in him was, I need to obey the Lord Jesus Christ here. And he took up his bed and walked at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see it had to start with the inner man? It wasn't just, oh, you're made whole and your body starts to get up. No. Made whole to start looking to God as the source, not to man. What was he looking at? What was his source that he was looking at in verse 7? Sir, I have no man. Who should he have been looking to? Who should he have been looking to? The Lord, shouldn't he? He should have been looking constantly to the Lord. Now he has the Lord standing in front of him. And who should he be looking to? Jesus, who gives a command. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. So Jesus can see that there needed to be wholeness in this man. He needed to change. He needed to look not to man, but to the Lord. And we see that as we go a little bit further in the scriptures in this same chapter, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple. So he's walking around now and he's able to go to the temple. That's a good thing, isn't it? glory to God in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, sin no more. So what was he doing? He was lying there for 38 years, sinning. Okay, sinning. And you might say, well, how is he sinning? Was he getting up and bashing up people? No. He was looking to man for a start off, leaving God out of the picture. But what was the thing that Jesus really pinpointed here? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. So now he looks to the Lord and says, the Lord has made me whole. The Lord has made me whole. And that's the way we must be, constantly looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the Bible tells us. So we must look to the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that if we are going to compromise, that is, we're going to ignore the law of the wise and ignore the fear of God, we can get into sin. And as it says there, things can come to us rather than departing from the snares of death. The snares of death can start to come towards us. Can you see that? We must live holy lives, and to do that we must obey the scripture which says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, and in your spirit. And that means that God has given you the power to be able to do that. If he says for you to do that, if he's given you the commandment to do that, it's no use us saying, no, I can't do that. Why? Because God has given us the commandment to do that. With every commandment he gives the enabling. He gives the strength. He's in you. The Lord is in you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Does that mean that you can also obey God's commandments? Yes. Because I can do all things, including obey God's commandments, including glorify God in my body and in my spirit. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to tap into that fountain of life continually so we depart from the snares of death. Depart from the snares of death. Praise the Lord. There are other things I could speak about, but I sense in the Lord that it's time for us just to quieten our hearts now. And I want to give you a little bit of time. If there is anything that you need to clear up in your life before we pray, you might need to do something like that. Let's give it a bit of time. Let's just quieten our hearts before the Lord and just quietly say to the Lord. You can follow along in this prayer that I'll lead you through. But let me just pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for providing your fountain of life. You are our provider. Oh, Lord, it exists. It's not some mythical thing. It exists. It is here. It is available. Lord, we want to tap into that. Help every person here to tap into that by having the fear of the Lord and the law of the wise and living lives that are glorifying to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.